working at all of these rock stations and all of these oldies stations and a few MOR stations, and middle of the road is what they used to call adult contemporary. And I've been working all that bullshit and, you know, not good. And finally, 37, 38 years old, chuck it all. Took about half of the shit that I owned and literally threw it in a fucking dumpster out behind this townhome that I was renting in Sierra Madre, California. Got into my fucking Blazer, drove up the coast to the city of Ventura, which, as fate would have it, this is where I find myself yet again, only now the master of my domain, not at the beck and call, you know. Anyway, and began at the age of 38 all over again as a talk show host, as a guy that wasn't going to play any records, done playing records, finished with playing records. As I said to somebody in a message the other day, we were talking about the old days, I said, you know, my ego was too big. I thought I was better than Led Zeppelin, which, of course, is an absurd statement. But it's not absurd when you think of it in terms of what I do and what Led Zeppelin does. You know, what I do and what Led Zeppelin does, two different things. They're musicians, they play music, they're on stage, and what I do is I do humor, comedy, blah, 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 spoken word, whatever the fuck you want to call it. So they're two completely different things. So, you know, throughout my career, I would think, why am I playing this fucking music, man? You know, I'm better than this shit. I mean, there was music I liked, obviously. It wasn't that I was down on all music, but I was playing the same goddamn record. How many times you can play Green River by Creedence Clearwater Revival? How many times I can listen to that same goddamn opening to Misty Mountain Hop that I hated? Ding, 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 you know. How many times I can listen to the same sorry-ass fucking drag-ass beginnings to Pink Floyd songs that I eventually got good, but Wish You Were Here was, every time I heard the opening to Wish You Were Here, it's like I played it over and over and over and fucking over again. Every time I heard, obviously, Stairway to Heaven, a song that I grew to hate, a song that any disc jockey grew to despise because we played it over and over and over again. And we were always told the same thing by the program director or the consultant that was in from New York or L.A. Your job is to sell it. Your job is to, you know, they always talk to you like you're fucking garbage, you know, never talk to you like you're a fucking human being, and God forbid they would ever talk to you like you're an actual performer. Or maybe that's the way they talk to performers at that level. I guess that's what I was learning. Because it didn't change all that much when I got to Los Angeles as a disc jockey. I was doing morning drive at KNX FM, I was doing mornings at KLSX, K-West, the old K-West, 106 K-West. It was the same thing, you know. It's just, you just shut up and play the records. Shut up and play the records. Shut up and play the records, you know. Well, I got so fucking tired of that shit, I said, you know, I don't have but one life and one go-around in this motherfucker, so I have to go out and do it the way I want to do it, you know. So 20 fucking years, 20-plus years, 24 years now, this summer, 24 years ago. And I remember, like, in 2010, my 20-year anniversary in talk radio, which I consider to be really my 20-year anniversary in radio. Everything else was like an apprenticeship up to that. My 20th year, which should have been, you know, a bit of a celebration for myself and for my listeners, was swallowed up in the angst of realizing I was still working for TRN. You know, it just, I couldn't be fucking happy for shit. You know, I couldn't get my, God forbid I would ask these motherfuckers to help with any kind of a promotion, you know, in that regard. So I just, fuck it, you know, whatever. Birthdays and anniversaries are for people that like birthdays and anniversaries. All right. So Dark Star in WCCO land at Minneapolis used to play that song, I Heard a Rumor by Bananarama, as the song he would come out of his last break with, and then he would end his show with I Am Calling You from Baghdad Cafe. Which I learned was sung by Javetta Steele, who is with a group called the Steels, who originated in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul. So I went and saw them, actually, for a Christmas show that was on at the St. Paul Civic Auditorium with my girlfriend at the time. And Her name was Yvonne. I mentioned Yvonne because she, you know, turned me on to really good shows there. We not only saw the Steels, I think on that same show we saw the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra doing a series of Christmas songs. It was quite a Minnesota thing, you know. It's the middle of fucking winter, the snow's on the ground, and I gotta tell you, if there's a way to enjoy winter time, it's to do it in a civilized way, you see. You know, you go and you have your overcoat and you go into the thing and you see the thing and then you walk out to the... And the snow is on the ground and you do it all very civilized. So it's very nice. It's not my kind of weather. You know, forgive me, but I there's no fucking way. I don't see the charm in it. Living year-round. I can dig it for, you know, vacations and, you know, looking at the goddamn snow. It's great. There's nothing like it in the world. But for living around the clock, no way. Not me, you know. No way. All right. In fact, Margaret was just harping on Minnesota. The Filth File is up. There's a new Filth File, series of Filth File pictures that I suppose we should yank up for you, if you'll pardon the expression. And these Filth File pictures are, they just got cleared by Margaret last night as she was busily working on them. Now, what the fuck is her goddamn... I know what I'll do. I'll just go to this here. I got that thing in my ear. You know when it goes... You know, like you haven't washed your ears for 100 years? Yes, that. I've got plenty of nothing, and nothing's got plenty of me. Dee-dee-doo, doobie-doo, doobie-doobie-doo. Here we go. Due to Beaver Meadow Garden Center. Margaret's got a whole, you know, I'm not going to go into reading her descriptions, but she's outraged. This is Beaver Meadow, I think, is, this is Minnesota. This is in Hinckley, Minnesota. I forget where Hinckley, Minnesota is, man. I think it's, I don't know where it is. Hinckley. Is it north? Is it north? Is it up in the, is it Iron Range? I don't know. Because you, when you're living in the cities, as they call the Twin Cities, you learn about the Iron Range, and you learn about Greater Minnesota, and you learn about a lot of shit, man. You know, you learn about the cities and the St. Paul part of it, and the Minneapolis part of it, and the difference between the two, and the river, and the university, and it's a whole thing, man. And then Duluth and the Lake Superior and opening day. Opening day is when the fishing starts. Opening day is when the fishing starts. And I'm going to tell you something. You ain't seen nothing, man. You ain't seen nothing like Minnesota or maybe any of those states when it comes to fishing. Because we actually did a live... We did a whole fucking day. I can't describe... How do you describe it? On opening day, May 15th, which would have been 93, that's when I was in Minneapolis, there was a remote broadcast going from some, I don't know, a bait shop or something? There was like, seriously, there were three guys broadcasting for WCCO, and I was doing my show, but then I would cut in, all right, you know, it's opening day, let's go up to, I think it was Danny Hertzgard, and very nice guy. I don't know where Dan is. I hope he's well and doing, he was a terrifically nice man, and Danny was also a deep sea diver. He was a guy that did it all, man. He was a talk show host at WCCO, also did the kind of diving you do when you're, what is salvaging? And he was asked to dive a Canadian wreck in Lake Superior that was almost 100 years old. It was around the turn of the 20th century that this ship went down. You ready for this? This is true. And Dan told me the story. He says, we went down. And the reason why they were asked to dive this on behalf of the Canadian government, and I don't think it was the Canadian government, it was a private Canadian insurer, was because there were claims still outstanding almost this 100 years later from members of the family. They wanted to, you know, they were reopening this case because it had been determined back when they did the original Board of Inquiry that the pilot or the mate, a pivotal individual in the crew, had been on the bridge and had been responsible for the ultimate sinking of this vessel. It was in a storm, the Lake Superior. Remember that song by Gordon Fitzgerald? The legend lives on from the do-do-do-do, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, whatever. They had all these fucking storms. Lake Superior is huge. It's a fucking huge lake, man. It's like an inland sea, you know, and it's and it gets weather, and it's fucked up, you know. So anyway, Dan dove this thing. First place they were asked to look were the private cabins of the crew members to see if this individual, if his remains were in this cabin. They had never raised this wreck. They had not obviously recovered the body of this man. Dan said he went in and he said because of the temperature of the lake water, which was very fucking cold at that depth, the man not only was in there, but he was not perfectly preserved, but preserved to a point where he was recognizable features. There was not a lot of decay and not a lot of decomposition, and that he was indeed in his cabin when this thing was finally at the bottom of the sea. Now, I don't know whether that solved the whole goddamn thing, because if I'm the cynical juror, I go, how do we know he didn't just run back to his cabin and get into his pajamas and pretend like he was sleeping? You know, I'm just kidding, but anyway, my understanding was that they, as the result of what the divers found, the remains of this man in his cabin, that this entire finding was reversed on behalf of the family. And all these years later, and they did this by, as I say, by diving this fucking wreck, man. So how did we get to the wreck of the, whatever the hell, it wasn't the Edmund Fitzgerald, it was something else. Because we're looking at Beaver Meadows in Hinckley, Minnesota, there, part of the Margaret Gray filth file. Here's another one. This is, says, BJ, new BJ, 99 cents. Oh, 99. Why did we say 59? Margaret wrote that wrong. It says, new BJ, 99 cents. But her essential point is, you know, pretty brazen for them to be advertising blowjobs at 99 cents there in front of this Buddhist temple. Pretty fucked up. Tang up your day. Yeah, I'll bet. You know, that's just self-explanatory. Here's one from, I'm going to have to go ahead and guess a foreign country of some kind. Grab me now, cock 500 milliliter, cock zero, cock light, 100 plus ASST, 100 plus AST, cock zero. And there, and of course, it's all headlined with grab me now. That is profoundly fucked up and filth file material. The mystery of the Chinese junk. Yeah, sure. Here are the Hardy Boys looking, and the, as Margaret noted, there's no supervising adult with them. They're just looking to see, you know, if they can catch some guy's junk who happens to be Chinese, and that's foul. Ball and Jack set. Hello. Something from the 50s about Ball and Jack. Once you're done jacking, you hope you can ball. Or maybe it's the other way around. Once you've done balling, what's left to you is jacking. This is, says, blue goo here. And the guy that sent this in felt that, well, what is this, an entree to the Smurfs jerking off? That's really fucked up, you know. So now all you get are a bunch of little blue Smurfs with their blue dicks out, smoking probably blue weed. Here is the Great Northern Jerk-Off celebrates 20th. Yeah, uh-huh. And as Margaret noted, these are senior citizens who should know better. They should know the vile and the vile filth of this, but they don't give a fuck. You can look at their faces. They're all like, yeah, come on and jerk it off. And this is from a gentleman in California that came in a few days earlier, and it says, special milk, 2 gallons, $7.25. What is that supposed to mean, special milk? Jesus. No fucking shame for these motherfuckers. Probe. Margaret will get in here and she'll do them all. We'll get back to the coolness.
Oh, man, I'm tired, dude.
Pardon me for, I'm very sorry. I don't mean to yawn because I know it sets off a chain reaction of yawning, but I go from doing a night show to, I go from doing a night show to doing a not a morning drive show by any stretch of the imagination, but by the time you're getting your ass out of bed and you get everything going, you know, you are what you are. You know, you're up early, man. That's what I'm trying to say. So welcome here to our show this morning. Now, news to report about the one-man show. We're halfway to a sellout. Now, we've got a long time before the show. I mean, this is June 24th? And the show is until July 30. So we've got... we started promoting this thing with 6 weeks out. I don't know when we started promoting it on the exact date. But the fact is, that, you know, we started promoting it with a lot of time. But we're already halfway to a sellout on this thing. So... I would suggest, and don't take my word for it if you don't want. I don't know that much about the theater business. This is my first foray into it, as it may be for you. And it's not really not a theater. We're talking about a club, and clubs are decidedly smaller than theaters. Clubs are, this is a 200-seater. But what we're talking about here is a pace for the sale of tickets that is bound to, bound to pick up. And it's only going to get more, insane, man. When we leave L.A. and we get into Orange County, we do Irvine, and then when we get out into the great wide expanse of America, which is going to be just, God, I'm going to dig that so much. It's going to be so fucking interesting and so cool. You'll get a feel for this thing, man, and you guys will see how these ticket sales vary from market to market and place to place. But the fact remains that it's going to be a monstrosity, and our show at the Improv on the 30th is going to be as long, if not longer, than the Improv show on the 5th, which means it'll be at least a 90-minute show. It's going to include new material, new characters, new approaches to things. It's going to have some new pieces in it. I don't know how to describe it. I don't want to start sounding like I'm fucking Eugene O'Neill here.
What we've decided to do with scene one is move Lucretia. She comes home to find Roderick unbathed and his pants off. I don't want to do that, but.
I'm just trying to speak the lingo, you know? Yeah, man. So grab yourself a handful of good times, man, and get a ticket to our thang before the whole thang goes to hell in a handcart. Let's see. I'm just going to get up a few. Pardon me for saying just got to get up, but just got to get it up here. I've got plenty of nothing. Nothing's got plenty of me. Doo-dee-doo, doo-dee-doo. What's this sound like?
Yeah, well, we're here right now. We're flying at about 25,000 feet. This is a... I don't know where I am. I'm flying an aircraft. I've never flown one before.
How does it feel?
Say that again, Phil?
How does it feel?
It feels fine, except I don't know what I'm doing, so it must be on autopilot. You think that's it?
Probably, yeah. Probably. If you're not, are you actually physically flying it, or?
No, I'm just sitting here. I've got my hands in my lap.
Oh. All right. Boat? What the fuck is boat? Here you go. Opening day up here in Minnesota. Boy, I'll tell you what. Bill Clefteel here, and this is fun. This is the kind of thing that you dream about. And I know, Jerry, how's it look?
Looks very nice.
Okay. We're going to come over here to this area. I like this area here, and this is an area that I have often fished it in. And over here, you're going to find your spout, your Claringtons, your triple backs. And the berries and the striped Newberry, and it's a goddamn is it a great fish. It's a great fish, and it never stops. I tell you what, let's move over here. I want to see what's over around the bend.
What'd you do?
I said I want to see what's around the bend.
Yeah, but I just have my line out.
I know you had your line out. You control a little bit. God, I love Bo Peep, man. I call him Bo Peep because he's always calling for his lost fish, you know.
We're going to come on over here. Look at this. This is a place called Dover Crest. And right here, yeah, this is going to be good here. And right here at Dover Crest, now, you see there's a, they see the shallows here? Chester?
Yeah, I love that.
Chester, the shallows here give you enough room to cast, troll, drop bait. I like to make the joke, drop trouser, if that is your want, your desire. Of course, I wouldn't recommend it, especially not in here at Dover Crest. Let's get out of here, because you've already got your pants off.
What the hell are you doing, man? That's the second time you take it off.
I got to get out of here. You take your pants off. I got to get out of here. All right, let's go over here. Now, see this? This is luscious. This is an entire luscious area. There's nothing but fish here. Nothing but fish. There's nothing else here but fish. There's no humans. There's no houses. There's hardly any land. It's just the middle of... There's fish here.
Why say that?
Because I'm on top of the water of a lake. There's got to be fish underneath, don't you think? Now, right here is where this whole goddamn thing began. And this is where the whole goddamn thing will end. Because I'm going to kill you.
That's great. Should we start the show like that? And now, fishing with Bill Trellington and Kip Riley.
Bill Trellington here. Hello, everybody. This is Bill Trellington, and we're out here on Cascade Lake in northern New Jersey. A beautiful afternoon for fishing, and we'll get to the Phil Henry Show very briefly here in a moment. And I've got to tell you, I've had a...
What else we got to do is boat two. Now, what is this? This is... Yeah, okay, so that, and then we need Dubbo 2 in. I've got plenty of nothing. Nothing's got a hold of me. Okay, boat. Okay, a boat. Boat. Do you have your boat, Billy?
Yeah, I've got boat.
Good for you. That's great. You winding up the little rubber... You winding up the little rubber band?
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Now, you know that's not a real boat. You can't get in it.
I know. It's too small. It's a toy.
That's a baby. Boy, you're doing great. You know, it's funny. Only about 6 months ago, you were the CEO of our Boston branch office, and now look at you. You always do that when we come out here. As soon as you leave, you go back to being the officious office asshole that you are. But out here, you're just mentally deficient. Why?
I don't know.
Because you don't know how to fish. You don't know shit about the outdoors. All right. I used to do this bit where the guy's like,
you know, the catfish is like the woman. And the woman is the catfish. The man puts the line in the water.
Yeah, could I just ask you something, Charlie?
Yes.
How is it every time we come up here fishing, you go from being office manager and one of our leading salespeople, all of a sudden you're you know Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. What's the story with you?
I just love it up here.
The guy, in other words, the bit was that the guy just morphs into Uncle Remus or some bullshit, you know, and because he's out there in the woods and there's bluebirds and shit, and then he leaves the lake, gets back down the hill, and there he is, you know, an asshole again. See, so
I think it's a lesson in life, don't you?
All right, we're going to have to get our shit together, because this is, all of a sudden, I've just carved out something for myself to do here, and I'm not really sure what the fuck I'm doing. Jesus, man. All right, let's see here. I go to country. Yes. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's factual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zip. Here's, well, I don't know, man. This. All right, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now it's time for the Wide Open Spaces with Bill Perneal.
God damn it, what was the guy's name? Shit.
Bill Perneal with Bill Hassinger.
All listen to the children.
With Bill Hassinger and Kip Darnell. Now time for Wide Open Spaces with Bill Hassinger and Kip Parnell. Hey, everybody, welcome out here. We're on Lake Verdon. This is a hell of a thing that we're doing. Right now, we're hey, everybody, we're out here on Lake Verdon, and we're on our way over to one of my favorite fishing spots, and I'm here with Kip Parnell. I'm Bill Hassinger, and this is Kip Darnell. Kip Darnell. And we're going to be out here doing our thing. And I certainly do hope that you can join us. God, that would be the funniest motherfucking thing. Hey, Gigi, I got a great idea.
Great fucking idea. I'm going to go in, man. I'm going to blow those motherfuckers away. I got a meeting next week. I ain't going to tell you where, but I got a fucking meeting. I'm going to blow their shit away, man, with the shit that I'm going to pitch. I got a great motherfucker idea. In fact, I'm so excited about this. I'm gonna message her. In fact, I'm so excited about this. I don't even want to do my fucking show. I want to go on right away. Where is she? Come on, Gigi. Where are you? God, here. Watch this. All right. Thanks, Alex, for turning off the fucking thing. See, if Alex didn't turn off the goddamn Samcast, I'd still be broadcasting that motherfucker. Thank you, Alex. Man, I'm like forgetting to turn the Samcast off. Is that senility or am I? What the fuck is going on? I could say it's senility, but I've been that way my whole goddamn life. My whole life I've been forgetting shit, so... I mean, what are you going to do, you know? I mean, a guy that's been forgetting shit his whole life, how do you ever know that you're, you know, your brain? By the way, Mother Angelica is part of the Poor Clare Nuns. What the fuck does that mean? That sounds like some kind of a pitch, Mother Angelica. All right, so what I'm going to do here before we get back to our tune-in listeners. Man, this will be fucking funnier than shit. Are you kidding me? I just messaged my manager. Every other word was fuck. You know, hey, I got a great fucking idea. This fucking thing, and I got another fuck. All right, here we go. And good morning and welcome to my tune-in listeners, to my tune-in listeners and to my listen live listeners at philhenryshow.com. We do have news to report, not big news, but I want to give a little bit of a boot in the ass to those of you who may be screwing the pooch on getting tickets to our one-man show. Tickets are going fast.